Welcome back to the Oyushan Mikra Project and our study of Parshat Va'era. This is Menachem Liptag. In today's show, we study Kohen, the first Aliyah, beginning with chapter 6, verse 2, Perek Vav, Pasuk Bet. Vaydaber Elohim Moshe, Elohim spoke to Moshe, Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Ani Adonai, I'm Hashem. This Pasuk is rather strange, because Moshe Rabbeinu is already quite aware of who God is. Recall at the burning bush, God already appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu. He identified himself as the God of his forefathers. Moshe Rabbeinu even asked God, should Bnei Yisrael ask me, what is your name? What name should I tell him? And God gave him a full answer. God gave him signs about the fact that he existed. So why does God have to come now and tell Moshe Rabbeinu, I am Hashem? To appreciate the importance of this pasuk, we have to pay attention to several points. First of all, this opening phrase of Parshat Va'era is a continuation of a conversation that began at the end of Parshat Shemot. Recall that Moshe Rabbeinu had gone to Paro, demanding that he allow his people to go 3 days in the desert to serve God. Paro was very angered by that request, doubled the workload, and because of that extra workload, the elders of Israel confront Moshe and Aaron and complain to them. In turn, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of Parshat Shemot, turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his famous complaint, Lama hareota lama zeh shelachtani? Why did you make things worse for this people? Why have you sent me? And from the time I went to Paro, things only got worse, and you haven't saved them. And Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be very angry at the way God's plan is unfolding. In response to this complaint, the last line of Parshat Shemot, which is the first line of chapter 6, God responded and told Moshe, you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro, because through this plan, Paro is going to kick you out and expel you from the land, just as you'll see. But God now continues that conversation with Moshe, and that background will help us understand what's this phrase, Ani Hashem. We'd like to suggest is that Ani Hashem is not information. God is not telling Moshe Rabbeinu what his name is or who he is. Rather, this implies, be obedient, follow my orders. This understanding that God is being rather harsh with Moshe is supported by Rashi, who explained on this opening pasuk, Diber ito mishpat. God spoke in judgment to Moshe, and it's also supported by the use of the word Vaydaber Elohim, that Elohim spoke to Moshe as opposed to Vayomer Elohim. Up until this point in Chumash, almost every time where we find God's name Elohim, which usually refers to the God of nature, the God who runs his creation in a very hidden manner. When God's name is Elohim, the way he speaks is always with the verb Vayomer. Recall from the first day of creation, Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or. Every day of creation is followed with the word Vayomer. And there was only two earlier times in Chumash where we found Vaydaber Elohim, where God speaks in a command form, with the emphatic Vaydaber as opposed to the more passive Vayomer. The first case was when Noah came out of the ark. In Sefer Bereshit Perechet Pasuk Tedvav, there Vaydaber Elohim, El Noach, Tzemin HaTeva. That opening line was followed by the seven Noachide laws and the covenant between God and his creation, better known as Brit HaKeshet. The only other time in Sefer Bereshit where we find Vaydaber Ito Elohim, where Elohim speaks with the verb Vaydaber, is in the next covenant with Brit Milah. That's in chapter 17, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, as the introduction to Brit Milah. And there, that covenant is introduced also with the command of Hashem saying, Am Kel Shaddai Yitalech Lefanai V'yet Tamim, walk in front of me and be perfect. This supports the idea that when we have Vaydaber Elohim, when Hashem is speaking, it comes with some type of covenant, and hence some type of command, in a two-way relationship. The only other time in Chumash where we find Vaydaber Elohim, where Elohim speaks with the verb Vaydaber, is the opening line of the Ten Commandments. Look in chapter 20 in Sefer Shemot, the opening pasuk, Vaydaber Elohim et advarim elu lemor. Elohim spoke these words, saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher tzeiticha meretz Mitzrayim. And if you pay careful attention, you'll see that these opening lines of Parshat Va'era form a type of introduction to what will take place at Har Sinai with the Ten Commandments, because God is now telling Moshe, Ani Hashem, and I'm going to take you out of Egypt, as we're going to see in the four Lashonot of Gula, which will follow, beginning with Pasuk Vav. Let's continue now with Pasuk Bet, and we'll better understand why these opening words to Moshe form a type of rebuke, but also a type of introduction to what Moshe needs to do in order to enable Am Yisrael to come out of Egypt. Ve'era el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov be'el Shaddai. God tells Moshe, I had appeared to Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov with my name Kel Shaddai. And recall again, when God introduced himself in chapter 17 to Avram Avinu and told him, Ani Kel Shaddai, it was followed by the command, Hitalech lefanai v'yetamim, walk in front of me and be perfect. That was in contrast to Noach and Et Elohim Italech Noach. Noach was chosen for what he was, in contrast to Avram, who's chosen for what he needs to be. When God enters a covenant with Avram Avinu, It's in order that he lead the way in front of God and represent him and be perfect in his ways. That's the command, Hitelech Lefanai V'yatamim. Yet whenever God commanded Avram Avinu to do something, and the same with in regard to Yitzchak and Yaakov, they followed his commands, and they didn't question, what's your name, why should I listen, send somebody else. God told Avram, Lech Lecha, and he went. He didn't say, send somebody else. Therefore, the pasuk continues, Ushmi Adonai lo nodati lehem. My name, Yudke Vavke, I did not have to make myself known to them. Clearly, if you read Chumash, Shem Yudke Vavke, Shem Hashem speaks to Avram Avinu, and to Yitzchak and to Yaakov many times. God isn't saying I never spoke to them with my name, Yudke Vavke, but rather I did not need to make myself known to them. If you look in Yechezkel, Perek Chav Pasek Tet, and also in Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasek Yer Aleph, and at the end of Perek Lamed Chet, in the story of Gog and Magog, in the last two lines, those are the only other three times where we find the word Nodati. They're all in the context of, I'm going to make myself known, I'm going to make my name known, Yudke Vavke, by bringing a harsh punishment, either upon the Egyptians, or upon the nation of Edom for their bad behavior, or upon Gog and Magog for what they've done to the people of Israel. How does God make his name known in all those three cases? By bringing terrible plagues upon those nations in order to teach them a lesson that he is God. God is now explaining to Moshe Rabbeinu why he's going to bring the plagues upon the Egyptians, which will be the main topic of Parshat Va'era. And as we're going to see many times, especially in the beginning of chapter 7 in Pasuk Hey, V'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem bintoti et yadi haMitzrayim v'hoceiti et bnei Yisrael mitocham. Egypt will know that I'm God when I stretch my hand out against Egypt and bring these plagues. Also, Am Yisrael is going to learn that God exists by these plagues. And in order to accomplish this goal of Yadu Mitzrayim Keni Hashem, and is also to accomplish the goal that Am Yisrael needs to know, Vidatem Keni Hashem Elokechem, God is going to need to bring plagues and bring harsh punishment to make his name known. This is necessary now for the generation coming out of Egypt. This was not necessary in the time of the Avot. In other words, our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, were obedient and followed God, even though God did not perform for them, Nisim Gluim, miracles beyond the realm of nature. God is going to bring miracles now, what the Rambam calls Anes Galui, as opposed to Anes Nistar, which he used in the time of our forefathers. This will teach Egypt, and also show Am Yisrael that he is God, and that will make them obedient. But the purpose of all these miracles will be so that Egypt will recognize that Hashem is God, Am Yisrael will also recognize that Hashem is God. And this recognition is not simply something in the realm of the intellect to know that God exists, but rather in the behavioral realm that man must understand not only that God exists, but one must be obedient and follow his laws. If it's the nation of Egypt, they have to follow the seven Noahide laws and act properly. If it's the people of Israel, they have to be ready and eager to be his loyal covenantal partner. In that sense, this phrase, Ani Hashem, could be understood as, I'm God, I'm your boss, you better pay attention and listen to me, otherwise you'll be punished in a terrible manner. This theme of covenant continues in Pasuk Daled. V'gam hakimoti et briti itam. I even established my covenant with them. Letet lem et eretz Kanaan, et eretz megurim asher garu ba, to give them the land of Canaan, the land that our forefathers dwelled in. If you take a look again in chapter 17 in Bereshit, at Psukim Zayin and Chet, you'll see these are precisely the exact words of Brit Milah. And if you want to appreciate a short line of Rashi, notice how Rashi says, "Vaydaber elav ani Hashem neman l'shalem schar tov l'mitalchim l'fanai betamim." I'm reading Rashi based on his girsa in the Ramban. Why is Rashi quoting the Midrash that God will be true to give reward to those who mitalech l'fanav betamim, those who walk before him with perfectness? That's clearly because these psukim relate to Brit Milah, which was introduced in the first line of chapter 17, Hashem telling Avram Avinu, Ani kel Shaddai hitalech lefanai v'yetamim. Brit Milah has two sides. Hashem will be our God, but we must follow him properly. Now God's taking Am Yisrael out of Egypt and is going to include also Brit Bein HaBetarim. And as we're going to see, both these covenants are two-sided. God is ready and willing now to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt and help them become his nation. On the other hand, Am Yisrael must be ready and willing to follow his laws. This we'll see now in the next pasuk, in Pasuk Hey. V'gam ani shamati et nakat b'nei Yisrael asher Mitzrayim avidim otam. I've even heard the cries of the children of Israel, asher Mitzrayim avidim otam, as the Egyptians are putting upon them forced labor. V'eskor et briti, therefore I've remembered now my covenant, that's Brit Bein HaBetarim, where God promised Avram Avinu that his offspring will be strangers in someone else's land, as he explains in chapter 15 in Bereshit, in Psukim Yud Gimel Yud Dalet Tetvav. And after that oppression, God is going to punish the oppressor take them out with great wealth and bring them to the land of Israel, and afterwards they will inherit the land. God is ready now to fulfill that brit, but in preparation for that brit, Am Yisrael must be ready to be redeemed. This is the background that God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and based on that background, Moshe must return now to the people of Israel to prepare them for that redemption. Look now in Pasuk Vav, how again we find the phrase Ani Hashem as the introductory line of the words that Moshe must tell Bnei Yisrael on behalf of God. Lachein emor li Bnei Yisrael Ani Adonai. Therefore, tell the children of Israel, Ani Hashem, I am God, followed by the four Lashonot of Geula, and as we're going to see at the end of this quote, the last word again will be Ani Hashem. So let's read these words that Moshe must tell Bnei Yisrael on behalf of God, that begin again with Ani Hashem, followed by Votzeiti etchem mitachat sifot Mitzrayim, I'm going to take you out of this forced labor in Egypt. Vitzalti etchem miavodotam, I'm going to save you from this slavery. Vigalti etchem bizron netuya, I'm going to redeem you with an outstretched hand, uvishvatim gdolim, with great punishments against the Egyptian nation. These first three lashonot of Gula are clearly God's promise to fulfill Brit Bein Haptarim, where he's going to punish the oppressor and take his nation out of slavery with great wealth. Hence, clearly a fulfillment of Brit Bein Haptarim. And now in Pasuk Zayin, we're going to get to the next stage of that redemption, which will allude as well to the covenant of Brit Milah and the phrase Liot Lachal Elohim. V'lakachti etchem li la'am, I'm going to take you for me as a people. V'aiti lachem la'lohim. This phrase is not only Brit Milah, it's also the key phrase of Brit Sinai. To prove that, simply take a look in Sefer Vayikra, Perech Havav, Pasuk Tet Yod Yod Aleph. And then, after I take you out of Egypt and make a covenant with you at Har Sinai and take care of you during those 7 weeks of redemption, Vidatem ki ani Adonai Elohechem, then you will know that I am Hashem, again, Ani Hashem, your God, your special God, Hamotzi etchem mitachat tzivlot Mitzrayim, the one who will take you out from the suffering in Egypt. After you reach this recognition in the desert and enter the covenant at Har Sinai, then Veveti etchem el haaretz, then I will bring you to the land, Asher nasati et yadi letet ota l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov, the one that I stretched out my hand in order to give it to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov when I first made my covenant with them and promised them that their offspring would become the nation that would represent me in this land. V'natati ota lachem morasha ani Adonai. I'm going to give it to you as an inheritance, in morasha from the Lashon of Yerusha, to conquer and to be sovereign. The forefathers only sojourned in the land. God promised that this would be the land of the destiny of their offspring, but they themselves did not conquer it. After coming out of Egypt, God promises, you will enter the land, and it will be for you a morasha, an inheritance, which will be achieved through the conquest of the land. And again, the last line, closing these remarks to the people of Israel, Ani Adonai, I am Hashem your God. Even though these words of consolation that God is telling Moshe to relate to Bnei Israel seem to be of an informative nature, simply giving them good tidings that the redemption is around the corner, and even though they're suffering now, things are going to get better very soon, we're going to see from their context, and from a very important source in the book of Yechezkel, this is more than a promise of redemption, this is also a demand to repent and prepare yourself for redemption, as implied by the phrase, Ani Hashem, I am your God. To support this interpretation, let's see now what happens when Moshe relays these words to Am Yisrael. Vaydaber Moshe kein al Bnei Yisrael. Moshe said these words to Bnei Yisrael. V'lo shamu Moshe mikotzer ruach u'miavodah kasha. But they did not listen to Moshe because of the broken spirit and the harsh labor that they were enduring. What does it mean that they did not listen to Moshe? If it's simply they did not hear what he was saying, then he could have simply raised his voice and spoken louder. If it's they did not understand or believe what he was saying, then it should say v'lo heminu or v'lo hivinu. It says v'lo shemu, they didn't listen, and throughout the rest of Tanakh, that phrase usually means they did not obey. We have the same thing in English. You can listen to music, and you can listen to your parents. One implies listening or hearing something and paying attention. The other implies obedience and listening to a command. When we say Kriyat Shema, Vayayim Shemoa Tishmoa Mitzvotai, that means if we listen to his commandments, implying if we obey his commandments. In that context, this would imply that they did not obey what Moshe Rabbeinu told them, and it wasn't simply a question of not believing or not understanding. Even though this doesn't seem to be the simple meaning of the words here, if we take a look in the book of Yechezkel, we can see why this would be the best understanding of V'lo Shemoa Moshe. Let's take a look now in the book of Yechezkel to explain why. Recall that Yechezkel was a prophet who went with the first wave of exile with the king of Jehoiachin, 11 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He, together with the king and the royal family and all the important people of Yerushalayim, they were exiled by Nebuchadnezzar because he rebelled against Bavel. The poor people remained behind, and Tidkiel was appointed in charge of them, while the aristocracy went to the exile together with the Nevi Yechezkel. These elders of Yehuda, who were now in Bavel, turned to Yechezkel in Perachaf in the 7th year of this exile, with a request of redemption. If you take a look in Yechezkel Perachaf Pasuk Aleph, Bahi Bashana Hashviit, in the 7th year of the exile, which would be 4 years before the Korban, Bachamishi Basar L'Chodesh, in the 5th month, in the 10th of the month, Bo'on Hashim Yiznei Yisrael Lidroshet Adonai V'yashvu L'fanai. Elders of Israel came to make a request of God, and they sat in front of them. The request seems to be demanding redemption in return to Israel, because they felt that 4 or 5 years of exile was much too much, and they turned to Yechezkel the prophet to pray to God to help the return. God is quite angry with this request, and he tells Yechezkel, Ben Adam, Daber al Zikne Yisrael v'amarta lehem, Kol mar Hashem ha-lidrosh oti etem ba'im, Chai ani imidoresh lechem, Luma Hashem. Are you coming to make demands of me? Pasek Dalet, ha-tishpot otam, ha-tishpot Ben Adam. Instead, God tells Yechezkel to be judgmental of them. Et tovat avotam hodiyim. Tell them how bad they've been since the time of their forefathers. V'amarta lehem kol mar Hashem. Give them a lesson in history, how bad they've been since the time that I wanted to take them out of Egypt. And here Yechezkel tells us something that happened coming out of Egypt that Sefer Shemot only alludes to, but here we find the complete picture. So again, in Pasuk Hey, V'amarta lehem kol mar Hashem, V'yom b'chari b'Yisrael, on the day that I chose to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt, V'asa yadi lezer beit Yaakov, and I lifted up my hand to the offspring of the house of Yaakov, I made myself known to them in the land of Egypt. As we explained before, he made himself known by doing these miracles. And I lifted up my hand saying, Ani Hashem Elokechem. On that day, I wanted them to come out. I wanted to bring them to the land of Israel. But what did I tell them at that time? Ish shikutzei enav hashlichu. When I told you, coming out of Egypt, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Elokechem, when I demanded obedience and said, I'm Hashem your God, that required you to rid yourself of your Egyptian ways. We see from here, as a famous medrash that most of us are familiar with, that the people of Israel were on the 49th level of uncleanliness in Egypt. Not only were they not ready for redemption, they were immersed in Egyptian culture. And they were following Egyptian gods. This might have been understandable because of the 200 years of slavery and oppression. Nonetheless, God cannot redeem them if they're not ready for redemption. By saying, Ani Hashem Elokechem, God had demanded that they rid themselves of idol worship and prepare themselves to be redeemed. Instead, what happens in Pasuk Chet in Perachaf in Yechezkel, Vayamruvi, they rebelled against me. V'lo avu lishmo elai, they did not want to obey me. And here again we see, V'lo avu lishmo. It's not they did not listen to me, they did not obey me. Ish et shikutzei enehem lo hishlichu, bet gulule mitzrayim lo azavu. They didn't get rid themselves of these Egyptian customs and ways. V'amar lishpoch chamati alehem, and God wanted to kindle his anger against them, l'chadot api bahem betoch eretz mitzrayim, and to punish them and kill them in the land of Egypt. In other words, Yechezkel was saying, Am Yisrael was not ready for redemption. God had hoped they'd been ready, and they deserved to be punished in Egypt itself. Why did God save them? Pasuk Tet. Va'as leman shmi. God saved them for the sake of His name. L'dilti hechel l'nei ha'goyim asher heim b'tocham. So God's name should not be defiled in the eyes of the nations that they were dwelling in their midst. In other words, in the eyes of the Egyptians. Asher nodati alehem l'nehem, which He had made Himself known in their eyes. L'otzia meretz Mitzrayim. Here again we see the word nodati. God had made Himself known to the Egyptian people by way of His plagues. And because of that, he had to take Am Yisrael out, otherwise it would have been a terrible chilul Hashem. So from Yechezkel we see that before Am Yisrael left Egypt, God had demanded that they prepare themselves for redemption, and they were not ready. Sefer Shemot alludes to this in the Psukim which we read, but also gives an excuse for the people of Israel why they weren't ready. Mikotzer ruach mi'avodah kasha. It's understandable why they're not ready for redemption. We have a good excuse, and therefore God is going to redeem them. He's going to fulfill His promise of Brit Ben Abtarim and take them out. But even though He's going to take them out of Egypt, they can't receive the Torah, and surely they can't enter the land of Israel until they are indeed ready for redemption. And therefore, these psukim are going to explain the background to what happens from now on in Sefer Shemot. Moshe Rabbeinu's job as the leader is not simply to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt. It's more like Moshe's main job is to take Egypt or Egyptian culture out of Am Yisrael. According to Yechezkel, that is what these psukim and Parshat Va'era are talking about. When God tells Moshe to tell Bnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem, that means he's their God, he's their new boss, they must prepare themselves now for redemption and be worthy to be taken out. God tells Moshe to tell the people, Ani Hashem, I can take you out, I can redeem you, and I'll bring you to the land of Israel, but you must understand, I'm your God. When Sefer Shmo tells us now in Pasuk Tet, the Lo Shemua Moshe, they did not obey Moshe, they did not accept this command, and they did not change their ways, this will be accomplished by the plagues themselves. Not only the Yadu Mitzrayim Ken Yashem, not only will Egypt know that he is God, also be Datem Ken Yashem Elokechem, Am Yisrael themselves must also know that he is God, and based on this, we'll be able to explain all the other events that are going to take place in the next several parshiot. Let me bring some examples. Before they actually leave Egypt, Moshe has to get them ready. Therefore, they have a command to bring the Korban Pesach. Recall the Midrash when Moshe tells the people, Mishchu Uchulachem, in chapter 12 in Sefer Shemot, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, when Moshe informs him about the laws of Korban Pesach, Chazal say, Mishchu Yidechem Yavodah Zarah, pull your hands away from idol worship and take a Korban Pesach. This Korban Pesach, according to many commentators, this lamb was the type of God in Egypt. And as we'll see later on, in Moshe Rabbeinu's negotiations with Paro, had Am Yisrael taken a lamb and offered it in Egypt itself, this would have been an abomination to the Egyptians, because this goes totally against Egyptian culture. If God is telling Am Yisrael before they leave Egypt to take an Egyptian god and burn it in effigy, this is a way of making a statement, we are rejecting Egyptian culture. That enables them to survive Makat Bachorot, the plague of the firstborn. We'll also explain in Parshat Bo that the reason why we eat matzah with the Korban Pesach and not chametz, because chametz was also a symbol of Egyptian way of life. The Egyptians were known for the baking of bread and making leaven, even making beer. Fermentation was an art that the Egyptians became experts at. The Egyptians were known for chametz. By saying we're eating this korban without any chametz, only matzah, is another manner of symbolically rejecting Egyptian culture. And these are the key elements in the Korban Pesach that Am Yisrael brings before they leave Egypt. Therefore, when God sees the blood on the doors, that's a sign to God that this family inside this house is worthy of redemption. Finally, when we are commanded for 7 days to eat matzah, to remember this coming out of Egypt for all generations, the commandment is not only to eat matzah, the primary commandment is not to have chametz, not to own chametz, not to see chametz, to get rid of any chametz in your possession. If this chametz, if this leaven, is a symbol of Egyptian culture and a decadent way of life, then the way that Am Yisrael is commanded to remember the redemption is not only to thank God for taking them out, but to remember the requirement to rid themselves of Egyptian culture and rid themselves of idol worship in order to be ready for redemption in the future. This may also explain why the laws of chametz are almost identical to the laws of idol worship. The same laws that apply if someone finds an idol or any type of avodah zarah, that one cannot have any hana'ah, that one cannot have any benefit from chametz. He has to burn it and totally destroy it. During those 7 days of Pesach, we treat chametz as though it's avodah zarah, in a way of symbolically saying, in order to be ready for redemption in the future and to appreciate the freedom that God gave us, we have to know that to be worthy of redemption and to be God's people, we have to prepare ourselves by ridding ourselves of foreign cultures which would not permit us to follow God properly. With this background, let's finish now the Aliyah. Pasuk Yod, Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Lemor. God now tells Moshe again, Bo daber al Paro Melech Mitzrayim. God now commands Moshe, go again and speak to Paro, the king of Egypt. Vishalach et Bnei Yisrael Mi'artzo, that he must send the children of Israel out of his land. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be very reluctant for a very good reason. The last time he went to Paro, Paro did not listen and made work much harder. And now, after going to Bnei Yisrael and they also don't obey him, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell God, there's no point in me going to Paro. If I failed going to my own people don't obey me, why would Paro obey me? And listen now how he says this in his famous Kal Vachomer. Pasuk Yud Bet, Vaydaber Moshe lifnei Adonai lemor. Moshe spoke in front of God saying, Heim b'nei Yisrael lo shemo elai. The children of Israel did not obey me. Ve'eich yishma'ini Paro. So why would Paro obey me? And in addition to that, Va'ani arav sfatayim. I am not a good speaker. We'll deal with this last phrase in a minute. But in Moshe's Kal V'Chomer, it only makes sense if Lishmoa means to obey and not just to listen. For sure, Moshe wants Paro to obey. God is commanding Moshe, go to Paro and command him that he send Bnei Israel out of Egypt. The Kal V'Chomer only makes sense if Lishmoa in both halves of the Kal V'Chomer is referring to obeying a command. Therefore, Moshe says, Bnei Israel did not obey me, not just did not listen to me or did not believe me. They didn't obey my command to return to God. Therefore, if Bnei Israel don't obey me, why would Paro obey me? That proves to me that I'm not the person to do this job. Moshe Rabbeinu is not shirking responsibility. Moshe thinks he's not capable of doing the job. In addition to that, he's saying, Ani aras v'tayim, just like Moshe told God back in chapter 4, when he complained to God that he was kaved peh u'kaved lashon, when he had trouble speaking, in addition to the fact that he's not a very convincing arguer, he's also saying, I'm not a very eloquent spokesman. And therefore, he's requesting that God send somebody else. Again, I don't think that Moshe is shirking responsibility. I simply think that he's telling God, I'm not the right person for the job. In response to this, God now is going to command Moshe and Aaron, because recall that Aaron is going to help Moshe with this job, and he's going to command him once again to get the job done, despite his reservations. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayedaber Adonai Moshe ve'el Aaron, God now commands Moshe and Aaron, Vayetzaveim el Bnei Yisrael, he commands them about or to go to Bnei Yisrael, again, to get them to repent. Ve'el Paro Melech Mitzrayim, and he commands him to go once again to Paro, the king of Egypt. For what reason? Lotzi et Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, to take Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt. Paro must be convinced to send the people out to worship their God. That will be Moshe's job to Paro. Bnei Yisrael must be convinced that they must be ready and prepare themselves for redemption. That's Moshe and Aaron's job to Bnei Yisrael. It's a very difficult job on both ends. And as Parsha Ve'era and Bo continue, we will see how Moshe and Aaron begin to accomplish both those missions. I'd like to conclude today's share by noting Rashi on this final pasuk, Dibur Matchil Vaitzaveim of Bnei Yisrael. Rashi quotes a Tanchuma, Tzivam Alehem Lanigam Benachat V'lizbolotam. He commanded Moshe and Aaron to lead them in a nice way and to tolerate them. And also, Vel Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Tzivam Lechaluk Lo Kavod B'dvarim. Do it in an honorable way. He's still the king of a foreign nation, a great leader. You have to rebuke him and get him to follow your command, but still do it in a respectful manner. Even though Rashi afterwards notes, that's not Pshuto Shel Mikra. He's quoting a Midrash. The God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it's your job to be the leader and get them to return to God properly, take it easy on them. You have to tolerate them, which is a wonderful example of the nature of Rashi's commentary. Rashi is not only a great commentator, he's also an even greater educator. And whenever Rashi has an opportunity to note a problem in Pshat and solve that problem with the Midrash, he'll often pick a Midrash of educational nature. Quoting this Midrash of Tanchuma, that even when someone's job is to give Musar and to give rebuke from an educational point of view, tolerance and respect and kindness is always an overriding attribute which we always have to show, even when doing things on behalf of God.